Blog Talk Radio.
New Beginnings is not just for the young. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this Wednesday evening. As we move forward, we like to let you know, those who are tuned in on the internet, if you'd like to call in, we're interactive. If you have a question for the speaker, you can ask that question. If you'd like to participate in that, you could go in, call in to 347 347-407-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you called in, then you would hit the number one on the dial, and that would let us know that you have a question for the speaker. The second part is you can do a face-to-face Zoom. Amen. That's right. You heard it right. You could do a face-to-face Zoom. If you'd like to participate in that part, you would call dial in 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the password for that would be Psalm 23, capital PSALM 23. And once you dial that, you would be connected to the Zoom, and it is a face-to-face interaction. And then lastly, if you'd like to listen to this message again, you can go into Blog Talk Radio at the end of the service, and you would go into your internet and you would type in Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Once you type that in, then you would go in and look for We Can Begin Again. That is the password for New Beginnings Ministries. And it'll take you to this message for this evening. You can listen to it again. If you missed anything, you can share it with a friend. Be a blessing to someone. Amen. If you don't know how to relay the word or what the message was this evening, let them listen to it for themselves. That's Blog Talk Radio. Then type in We Can Begin Again. Amen. As we move forward, you know, we're in our regular service in New Jersey with Pastor Miles. Amen. And when we're all connected, all things work together for the good of those who love them and who are called according to his purpose. Amen. We are all called to the ministry of the gospel. And when we come together, iron sharpens iron. We become united. We become sharper. Just listening to the word of God, we feed off of each other, and we grow together spiritually. And that's the beauty of it. When we come together in unity and in spirit, and we grow together, amen. I know I grow each and every time that I come on a Wednesday and hear a message, amen. And just even seeing your numbers, I grow with that. I grow with encouragement. So I do thank you. As we move out of the way, I'm going to turn it on over to Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles from out of Hackensack, New Jersey. Pastor Miles.
Can you hear me, Brother Moderator?
Yes, I can. Yes, we can.
Amen. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. I'm excited on tonight. And as you know, you've been listening for a while. It doesn't take much to get me excited when it comes to the Word of God. I think if you just mess around and just drop a tambourine, I'll probably just set off. I believe that has happened once or twice with me. But before I get started on today, I want to share something with you. Two things I want to share. I want to call the book of business. If you were on last week, you heard something about being word up or getting worded. That was a very good message of being word up. And last time I was on last month, I spoke to you. I said, please, have your Bible, something to write with, something to write on. Because we're going to have Bible study. We're going to flip through the Bible. We're going to get our Bible calisthenics on. And write down your notes. Write down the scriptures. And get you a library of your own personal notes. Go to Staples. Get you a loose notebook. Get you some document protectors to put your stuff in that you can go back and research for your own edification and your own growth if you can share with one to another. And the other thing I would like to bring up, if you have a youth ministry and you're looking for a pastor or an elder, but he's a pastor, to speak to your youth, Jared Starhane out of Long Island, I believe it's the Church of Hutchinson in Long Island. You want to get in contact with that young man. He is on fire for the Lord. He's recently married. And he is really in touch with the youth, with the Bible, and how he can relate it to rap and hip-hop. And he comes with the word. Every time I hear him, fire. And if you follow me, come on my Facebook page. You'll see him. You'll see his credentials. You know how to get in contact with him that way. His name is Jared All-Star Haynes. He's out of Long Island, Huntington, Long Island. He's been on here, I think, once or twice before.
Yes, yes.
But let me get to the lecture at hand because I want to get it on. I don't want to have a part two. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're asking you right now. Open up our spirits, man, like our spirits, man, good ground to receive your word that we may eat it up, digest it, and live it out. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we're going to do something a little bit different than what I would normally do. Normally, I would read the scripture, and then we would expound the point. But we're going to actually go through it line by line. If you read the scripture, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 1 through 10. And our theme, and I want to reason with your spirit from this theme, false pain. Now, how many times, I know it happens when you may have questions, you present questions, and people do not have a biblical answer. They talk around it. And you have more questions now than you had before. And if you've been in the church and going to church and looking at your Bible, they talked about Paul's thorn. That was his pain. But what's that thorn? You've probably heard over some time, well, the Bible does not say what the thorn is. I beg to differ. And I'm going to show you what the Lord has shown me of what that thorn is. Through scripture on today. Let's get started. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me to glory. Break these words down. Let's get a better understanding. It is not expedient. What Paul is saying, it is not profitable for me to glory. What does he mean by for him to glory, for him to boast? It's not profitable for me. I will come visions and revelations of the Lord. So apparently, Paul got some information from the Lord. Because he said it's not expedient. It's not profitable for me to boast or brag about this. Let's go on a little bit further. Let me show you something. Verse 2. I knew a man in Christ 10 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. What does he mean by in the body, he cannot tell? What he's actually saying is, whether in the body, I don't know. Their phrase, I cannot tell, means I don't know. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, or I don't know. God knows. Section 1. Caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. What do you mean by unspeakable words? He heard words that inexpressible, too strong to be described or conveyed in words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Let me give you a little nugget. In verse 1, Paul said it's not expedient for him to boast. But now watch this. When you go from verse 2 to verse 4, Paul doing, Paul is speaking in the third person. He's talking about himself. I don't have a problem when people speak in the third person. Where they get it from? They got it right here in the Bible. That's what Paul did. There are times when people speak in the third person, other people take it as they're being arrogant. They're being stuck up. They're being conceited. But have you ever thought for one moment they want to get that attention off of them and on something else and greater that's better than them? Early in the career of basketball, LeBron James is good for that. Speaking in third person. He would say, I don't know names like that. Dwayne Wade can't do it by himself. Chris Bosh can't do it by himself. So-and-so can't do it by himself. LeBron can't do it by himself. We all have to come together. And whenever he did that for a big cause to win a championship. So when Paul is saying it's not profitable for him to boast, go on a little bit further. Verse 5. Of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmity. Talking about himself. He's going to glorify in his infirmities. What does he mean by that? Now watch this. Infirmity, I really want you to get this definition. A condition of feeling feeble. A condition of feeling feeble or lacking in strength. Repeat it again. A condition, feeble, or lacking in strength. He said he would rather glory in his infirmity. Now let's watch this here. Look at verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, to boast, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear. What does that forbear mean? He's going to refrain. He's going to hold back. Lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be or hears me to be. What does that mean? From the revelation that he has got from glory and the visions he's had, the stuff that was put into him, Paul was basically saying, I could say what I saw, and I could tell it to people what I saw. Think more highly of me than what they see and than what they hear. But what I'm telling you, if I tell you, it's going to be true. But you're going to take it as me being black. You're going to take it as me being conceited. You're going to take it as me being stuck up. And he's not conceited, he's convinced. Why? Because he got it from on high. And he's telling the truth. And when you're telling the truth, there is no lie. Too many people out there that they'll let their insecurity be offended by someone else's confidence. And then Paul said, if I tell it to you, it's true. But I don't want you to think more highly of me than what you see or what you hear. I'm going to let my fruit check. Let's go down verse 7. Watch this now. And least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Now, I just told you about this. You got it? be exalted. He doesn't want to be known as that. Let me give you, have you ever been somewhere having a good time and there's a person you really want to see and the group wants to see this person and this person shows up and everybody's elated. They're happy. They just add to the good time. But then again, have you been somewhere and there's this one person that just shows their presence and they kill a whole vibe? Or there's that one person that's always a pain in your foot. They're always rubbing the wrong way. They're just a pain in your foot. You hate to see them coming. You trying to find a way to get away from them. I submit to you, which I'm going to show you through Scripture, that Paul's thorn was people. Now, there were some people who state through study issues was with Paul's body. I submit to you that I don't believe it was a sickness in his body. And I'm going to tell you why. If you turn to Galatians, the fourth chapter, verse 15, I'm going to show you why people believed that it was an eye. And you're going to see more in Scripture. Galatians 4, 15. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given me. This is what some people state, that his problem is with his eye. And they back that up with the writing of this Galatian letter. Let's go to the sixth chapter, and this is how they try to support it. The sixth chapter, verse 11. Now, let me give you a little background history. Whenever Paul wrote a letter, most of the time Paul actually had a scribe who wrote for him. He just dictated and wrote. Verse 11. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my hand? People have said the reason why Paul had a problem with his eyes, and when he did writing, he wrote big letters because of his eyesight. I don't believe that to be an ailment in his body. Why? Turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. And I want you to look at verse 18. Now remember, Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians. On that way, Paul lost his eyesight. This is another reason why they tried to support it was Paul's eye, which was his thorn. But in verse 18, and immediately from his eyes, as it had been scaled, and he received his sight, went forth, arose, and was baptized. So he immediately had his eyesight. The Lord healed him. So I submit to you there wasn't a problem with his eyesight. There was a problem somewhere else, which was people, and I'm going to show you. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to the latter part of that verse. Well, let's go back to the beginning so we get the full understanding. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice. So Paul prayed about this thing three times that it might depart from me. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly thereof, I would rather glory or boast in my infirmity. What's your infirmity? A condition or feeling feeble or lacking strength? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, we've already read a scripture, part of some scripture, where I can tell you that it's people. Let's go back to verse 7. A messenger of Satan. You are either of your father God or your father the devil. How many people are being used by the devil to try to bring harm to Christians? And another reason why I believe that it's not an ailment in the body, because Paul did a prayer that did not line up with God's word. Isaiah 53:5. If this was a sickness in his body, it would have been healed. Why? Go to Isaiah 53:5. For some of y'all, this is a very familiar portion of scripture. This is why I believe it was not a sickness in his body. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. He asked the Lord three times, and he said no. So it was not of his will. Do you really think God wants you sick? Do you really think God wants sickness in your body and he's going to tell you no three times? When people came to Christ written in the Bible, did they get healed or he left them in that state? So I believe and I submit to you what the Lord has shown me. It wasn't sickness in his body. It was people. The messenger of Satan. Let's go on to verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmity, a condition of feeling feeble or lacking the strength. How many times somebody come around, you feel good, they just drain their energy out of you. Feel like you're feeling weak or lacking in strength. They come and reproach you. In necessity, in persecution, in distresses, for the sake, or for Christ's sake. But when I am weak, then I am strong. Does that sound like an ailment in his body? Well, preacher, you're putting a good argument there. Do you have any other scriptures to back that up? Yes, I do. But before I do, because I know I gave you a whole lot right now, Brother Moderator, please open up the microphone. Are there any questions, comments, or concerns at this point? Is there one? Are the microphones open?
Microphone's all open.
Can you ever hear me?
Yes, we can hear
yes.
you. Go ahead, Bob.
I think it's a very powerful word and very meaningful. But sometimes people who we surround ourselves with or we align ourselves with can actually, you know, really be a pain in the hip, but and drain you emotionally, spiritually, physically. And sometimes you have to know who you're dealing with and step away from them. You can try to spread the gospel, you know, work with them, the God's word, But then there's times in which those people are not reachable, and you have to let them, you know, let them go, walk away, pray, meditate, follow God's word. But you meditate on God, you put your focus on Him, and not on that person who is draining you and going to cause you grief physically and spiritually. So anyway, we have to know who we're dealing with.
Amen. Is there another? Now, let me give you some scriptures to show you that it was people. Turn to Numbers, chapter 33. Numbers, and when you get to Numbers chapter 33, please locate verse 55. And I'm in the King James text. But if ye will drive out the inhabitants, which are people, of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Do you see that? These are people, if they stay there, they're going to be irritants to the eyes. See, this is where they probably get the eyes. It was actually in the eye. That was his elbow. From here. And then it also says, they will vex you. They will harass you. Sounds like people to me. Does it sound like people to you? Let's go on to another scripture. Joshua, chapter 23. Just hang a right in your Bible. Joshua, chapter 23. And let's go to verse 13. Now, for certainty, that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of the nations, nations that consist of people, from you. But they shall be snares unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the goods of the land the Lord your God hath given you. Let's look at it. You see the eyes here again? This is where they can get it from. Through deduction, through reasoning, they can say that. But these are people that will make you feel some type of way. They will make you feel like you got thorns in your eyes. They will be snares and traps. Question to you. Now, do you still think this is a flesh, a thorn physically in his flesh, or does people irritate him? And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Preachers, there's going to be some people that's going to get on your nerves. There are some people you don't want to see coming. Isn't that a thorn in your flesh? Or as I like to say, a pain in your foot. But just remember, God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Let that simmer for a minute. Let that marry me. For all of you who are not preachers, who just in the body of Christ, who love the Lord with all your mind, all your soul, all your being. And those people come irritate to you. No matter what you seem to do, you can't get rid of it. Go back to verse 9. For his grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Just remember, Christ is with you. When you are weak, he is strong. When you're weak, that means you're empty of self. Then means Christ can fill you. And then at that moment, you become what? Strong. Let me give you another scripture. A third one. Turn with me to Judges. Book chapter 2. Book chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 1. And an angel of the Lord. Whenever you see the phrase angel of the Lord in the Bible, that's God. Don't believe me, research it. Matter of fact, I don't want you to believe it. I want you to research it. And the angel of the Lord came unto Gilgal to Boshen and said, I make you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto a land which I swear to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Verse 2. And ye shall make no league have in the land. People. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed the voice. Why have you done this? Verse 3. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. They shall be as thorns in your side. The people are going to be as thorns in your side. And their God shall be a snare unto you. Paul had thorn in his flesh. Do you think now it was actually a physical ailment? Because if it was a physical ailment, don't you think Christ would have healed him like he healed other people? Paul is chief apostle unto the Gentiles. So why would he want to have him physically sick? I'm going to pause right there. But there are people that will make you feel that way. It can be kinfolk, or other folk. But when you are in your infirmity, a condition of feeling feeble or lacking strength, you're empty. And then Christ, the Holy Spirit, can fill you. Brother Moderator, please open to my phone.
All mics are open.
The microphones are open for you at this time.
Comments? I guess someone made a comment. Any comments you'd like to speak louder?
Thought there was someone on Zoom that had something.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out the question I'm trying to ask.
Okay, take your time. Is there another in the meantime, in between time? There's no right, there's no wrong. You can talk about what happened in your past as far as your learning and add this to it. Have there been any developments that you have seen in this description that you may not have seen before?
So my question is in regards to when you feel like you have people in that element in your life that are around you, not necessarily that you have to deal with, but it brings you, makes you feel a certain way in that way. Understand saying that God will, you know what I'm saying, fulfill you and make you. How do you get past that of a feeling of not having anger or not an animosity, not a hatred either. It's an ill-ward feeling towards the people to make, you know what I'm saying, so you could be in whole. You don't really feel that way towards them, but it's just a, it's just their well, their being, just the energy just makes you feel a different way, which is not good.
Okay, great question. Great question, great statement, and thank you for that. You said a key word that I want you to really understand. You said anger. Okay? Scripture is clear. Be angry and sin not. Okay? It's okay to be angry. And let me tell you why. Anger is an emotion that God made. And emotions are good. Now, you could be angry. It's an emotion that God made. Now, it's how you deal or act off of that anger is what's going to happen. Next thing, you said another key word that's being used today. And they're trying to make it synonymous to the spirit. It's one of two things. In verse 7, as we had the Bible, you're either a messenger of Satan, a child of Satan, or a child of God. That person who has you to feel this type of way, you are not coming up against that person. We're not against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's that person's spirit.
Got it. I know that part.
Your spirit. Your spirit and their spirit are not clashing.
Correct.
And in that situation, the first thing you need to do is pray and ask God for protection.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God for healing. And ask God for guidance. Then another thing that you should do, and some people may disagree with me on this, get away from it.
Yeah, hard.
And the reason why I say that, because the longer you stay with them, in Scripture it says, evil communication corrupt good manners. They will change you before you change them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I could find that for you. So that is something that you must do. You have to get away from to build yourself in the most holy faith. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, verse 33. You have to get away from it. Because they're going to change you before you change them, which is now going to cause you to act out of character. And then you're going to be acting on emotion, which is going to get you into trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I kind of knew that, but I distance myself, but it's still the energy that's around me. I can't get away from it because it's so close, but it's every day. The energy, it weighs on me.
You see, that's when you have to, I believe it's 1 Peter 1 Peter 5:7. See, this is why you have to have your Bible handy. And you have to hide this word in your heart. So you can go to it just like this. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Remember I said when you get it, the first thing you do is pray?
Yeah.
Got to give it to the Lord. That battle's not yours to fight. That battle belongs to him. Because that person with that energy, that person with that bad spirit is trying to bring you down who's in the body of Christ. That's not your fight. You got to get to the Lord. Is there any out there who would like to add to what I'm saying? Is there any other questions, comments, or concerns? Do you have another one, my sister?
Yes. Good evening, family. I am listening.
A little bit louder, Pastor.
That?
A little bit louder. You're low.
Okay. I said I am listening to. I am listening to this conversation between Bishop Miles and the young lady, and I am trying to read between the lines. And you know, it's hard sometimes to stay away from that negative energy. But what I do in that case is, as Pastor Miles said, you know, you can leave it to God. You can leave it in his hands. But then sometimes we feel like, well, God is not here right now. God is not on the spot. God is not, I can't see him. I can't touch him. I can't know that he's going to handle this. And, you know, I kind of think that that's where our belief system comes in. And I believe that this young lady that's talking, I don't know who she is, but I can hear in her voice I hear the sweetness in her voice. And I hear the concern in her voice about her spiritual life and how this negative energy may affect her spiritual life. So, what I'm saying is, and I know it's hard to do, but, you know, love them anyway. Love whoever it may be, just love them anyway, because we have to remember that, you know, in our negative ways, and in our times of sin and doing things wrong and saying things wrong and thinking things wrong, Christ loved us. As Paul says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And while we were doing all the things we did or doing, Christ died for her, us. So to this young lady that I hear speaking, let me say this, if it will help any. I don't know you. I haven't seen you. I have no idea of who you may be, but I love you, okay? And I believe that the love of God will cause you to overcome any situation that you have to face. And no, you may not be able to get away from that negative energy, but you have to be able to discern that it's negative and just hide yourself in your own heart. Let me say it that way. You know, don't run from it. Don't try to hide from them. But just hide yourself in your own heart, if you know what I'm saying. Because people are going to act out. And people are going to not love you because of who you are and because of your spirit. They probably know that you are a good, loving Christian person that I feel like I hear in your voice. And Satan has all kinds of ways of working. He works through all kinds of people. Elder Miles, Bishop Miles, I'm sorry. Your message is awesome, and for that young lady, just know that that's a thorn in your flesh. Just know that. that situation is a thorn in your flesh, and God says, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. Just know that. Just know that his grace is sufficient, and he will help you through that situation. Yeah. Okay, I'm done talking. I got a little loud, but, you know, I just hear her concern and how she feels about this situation that she's having.
Is there another?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your comment, brother.
All mics
are open. Now at this time, all mics are open. Now, if you are out of the ark of safety, or you feel you're out of the ark of safety, and you need Christ, you need him to help you with your situation. What we're doing here right now, that New Beginnings Ministry, we're opening the doors of the church. All you have to do is press the number one on your phone, and we will see it, and we will get back to you. We here want to help you in your spiritual growth. We want to help you get to know Christ in a deeper in a higher way, take you to a higher height and a deeper depth in the spirit and the word, that it may help you in a time of trouble. Many of us go through these times where we have this thorn in our flesh. But just like Paul was told, my grace is sufficient for thee. And we have to rest on that. And if you are at the hour where you feel you need to cry, you let it be tears of joy because it's already done.
Mm-hmm.
It's already done in the spirit realm. All we have to do is wait for it to come and manifest. Since there is not one who has pressed, one has not come. At this time, I'm going to ask Brother Moderator if you could give us a prayer. Please pray for me and my better half and all who are on the line at this time.
Amen. Father God, we thank you for the word that's come forth. We thank you for what our ears have heard. We ask him, Father, Lord, that you would bless the man of God who has brought the word forth, that you would pour back into him all that he has poured out this evening. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would continue to order his footsteps and let his mind and his spirit be guided by you as he continues to go forth in Jesus' name. And then, Father, I ask, Lord, that you would pray that you would be with those of the sister who asked. I believe that's from out of New York. I ask, Father, that you would give her discernment as she comes against trying times. Lord, you say that my grace is sufficient. And we turn it all over to you, and we just walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord Father, we know that when we lean on you, that our thoughts are not your thoughts, our ways are not your ways, Lord, but we know that you know how to make things perfect. You know how to work it out. So I pray, Father, Lord, that you would just continue to allow her to continue in the spirit of love, and no matter what comes against her, that no weapons that are formed against her shall prosper. We bless the name of Jesus. We thank you for what is done. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in his presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy. To the only God.
Remember, we love you, but God loves you best.
Amen.
Thank you.